Let's go to South America. Our correspondent is Katie Watson. Welcome and thank you, Katie.
Hello, hi.
The reactions and ways of approaching the pandemic from country to country have been very different and some of them very interesting. Where is Brazil at? A lot of public anger at how its president had handled the crisis. Where are things at now?
Well, in terms of numbers, there are 155,000 cases and just over 10,000 people who have died. But Jair Bolsonaro, the president, continues to downplay the virus. In fact, over the weekend, there was a video circulating showing him on a jet ski meeting somebody on a boat who was having a barbecue and having a bit of a chat, not wearing a mask, despite the fact that in Brasilia, the capital, it's mandatory now to wear a mask. He's fired his health minister because he didn't believe in the importance of social distancing. So he brought in a new one. To be honest, it's been a pretty chaotic response to coronavirus, and the numbers just keep on rising. There's a big concern here that the testing is so minimal that the figures are going to be much higher, the real figures, than what the official statistics are putting out.
We saw lots of those public protests, the banging of pots early on. Has that kept up?
We haven't had so many pots in the last few weeks. I think there's been two things, really. Obviously, the crisis has got of coronavirus has got bigger and bigger. There's also been a political crisis here in Brazil in terms of, I mean, we saw that the health minister was fired, and that was obviously connected to the virus. After that, his justice minister left because he accused Jair Bolsonaro of political meddling and wanting to appoint a new police chief. And so there's been a lot of chat about that, and there was certainly pot banging going on there. But I think people here are just, surprised, not really very surprised, because they know that this is a president who has been known for being controversial ever since he came to power at the beginning of 2019. So it's not a surprise to a lot of Brazilians, but certainly the way he's handled this crisis and the way he's dealing with his politics at a time when actually the country needs to be, you know, doubling down in terms of its efforts to try and tackle COVID-19. People here are becoming increasingly frustrated. Certainly his approval ratings have dropped.
Also, the fears, of course, for the people of the Amazon, the indigenous communities there, both from the pandemic itself, but also from some of the possible plans about clearing yet more land there. Where has that story got to?
Yes, in the last few weeks, Manaus, which is the biggest city in the Brazilian Amazon, has been under severe pressure. Its health system has collapsed. We've been, you know, speaking to the mayor, who's been, repeatedly going on social media, saying that they need help. But it's a very isolated city. You can't get from any other main city via road. You've seen, the biggest graveyard is having to bury people in trenches. They're called mass graves. So it's a terrible, terrible situation there. But one of the biggest concerns is Manaus, but also the state it's in is one of the biggest, is home to the biggest group of indigenous people. And both for indigenous people who are very concerned about their vulnerability to the virus, but also the land that they live on. And I think this is what's the big concern with coronavirus, is that a lot of the government agencies, so the indigenous communities, the agencies that look after the indigenous people, but also the agencies that look after the deforestation side of things, they're not on the ground because they have been pulled back. So not only are the communities much more vulnerable, but they're also because in terms of illegal logging, illegal mining, this is a government here in Brazil who's been very open with wanting to develop the Amazon, and it's emboldened a lot of loggers, a lot of miners there. And the concern is, without these agencies on the ground, they're going into the communities. Obviously, deforestation has gone up. The first 3 months of the year saw, compared to last year, deforestation go up more than 50%. And of course, those illegal miners, illegal loggers are also, as one indigenous leader told me, they're the vectors. They're going in and they're also going to be threatening the livelihoods of the communities, especially those who perhaps are uncontacted.
Katie, it's a long tale for 3 minutes, but I bet you can do it. This strange story out of Venezuela, the US Marine and his attempt to overthrow the president.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually the stuff of a Hollywood movie, I think, rather than 3 minutes. This is, so according to Venezuela, a group of terrorist mercenaries landed, they arrived on a boat on the coast last week. 13 people, two Americans were arrested, 8 armed men were killed. Now, two of the Americans, Luke Denman and Aaron Berry, they appeared in videos that earlier this week Maduro showed on state television, and they appeared to be giving a lot of detail about exactly what happens. Of course, we have to, you know, realize that they haven't had access to lawyers. We haven't heard from them themselves. The only information we've been given is from President Nicolas Maduro. So there's a lot of kind of question marks over the safety of the men and their whereabouts. But they effectively talked about the fact that they were hired to train Venezuelans in Colombia before returning to Caracas. Then they'd take control of an airport to allow Mr. Maduro to be taken out of the country. You know, they talked about President Trump being involved. And of course, that's something that Nicolas Maduro likes to, throw his belief behind that. President Trump has rebuffed these suggestions, saying that he has had nothing to do with it. But it really, you know, calls into question. I mean, it's just another twist, if you like, in the drama that's going on in Venezuela, but the concerns as well as, what exactly happened. This was believed to have been a contract between a Florida-based security company that had been signed with the Venezuelan opposition, but the opposition leader Juan Guaido denied having anything to do with this. So the plot thickens, and obviously the concern about the two men and their whereabouts. But it's high drama. Certainly, it's another twist in the situation in Venezuela.
Thank you so much, Katie Watson, BBC correspondent based in Sao Paulo, our South America correspondent today.